All right, welcome everybody. All right, let me. Libby's actually not going to be joining us today, but that is okay. We have Lynette. Just going to let her in here. Dun, dun. Give me a second, Lynette. I have to remember how to do this. But thank you for filling in for Libby there. Would have been a pretty lame call if it was just me. All right, Lynette. Here we go. Right, Lynette, that should be good. That should have given you the access there. And everybody that's typing into the chat, make sure you change it over to everyone on the setting, on the chat setting. That way, we're all communicating here. Let me see if that works. Promote to panelist. There we go. All right, so that is set. Welcome, Lynette. Hello.
Good morning, everybody. How are you?
Thank you
Thanks for letting me
for
join in,
joining
Brandon.
here.
I love these calls.
Yeah, no, these are a great time for sure. And you know what? Every time we do these, there's a lot of people that it's like literally their first time, like ever, like just joining the course. So if this is your first time on a Q&A call, just drop a one in the chat. We want to see who you are. And if you've already published a book, drop a two in the chat. Let's see where everybody's at. We always have a lot of first timers. Well, Lynette, we call our call the Sunday Savages.
That's awesome.
Because it's like, these people are here on a Sunday to work on their business. So that's definitely a savage move. Ellie Harris, thank you. Said you look, I look like a GQ model in my picture. It's actually AI generated. Makes me look a little bit more hunkier than I really am. But yeah, I like that picture. It's cool. Reminds me of my real estate days, always wearing a suit. But yeah, it's AI generated. All right, let me pull up the slides. We are going to get started here. Dun, dun. Okay. You ready, Lynette?
Absolutely. Let's do this.
All right. Do you host another one of the QA calls?
I've been guest hosting on the Wednesday calls.
Okay, that's Carmen and that's
And
Carmen's
Stefan.
call.
No, Stefan and Kat.
Okay, sweet. All right, awesome. Well, let's get started. Welcome, everyone, Sunday Savages. Happy to see everybody here. Let me go on to the next slide. My connection's a little bit slow, so if I cut out, that's what happened. But all right, so first things first, we're going to go through all the questions submitted prior to today's call through the form in the AIA dashboard. If you don't know what it looks like this. Right. So there's up to an hour window. If you put in a question an hour before, we're going to be including that in the Q&A call. And if you don't manage to make it, we always have recordings. So don't worry too much. And when it comes to special segments, Lynette, which one's the POC call? Do you remember Thursday?
I believe that's Thursday's call.
Yeah, I think it's Thursday. All right. So we do have special segments on these calls. For example, Thursday is proof of concept. That's where we spend the call just dedicated looking at different topics and looking at their profitability. So if you have one of those questions, it's better to go to the Thursday call. Other than that, if you ever have a good segment idea, let us know and we can be sure to incorporate that. All right. So after we've gone through all the pre-submitted questions, we're also going to handle the open Q&A section that's right next to your chat button. So if you didn't manage to throw in a question beforehand, go to the Q&A and you can drop it in there. So very important, don't drop your questions in the chat, drop them in the QA box. Because on the chat, we're very likely to miss a lot of those questions while we're focusing on these ones. So if you have something to ask, feel free to drop it in. And also, we do get a lot of students on these calls, and we do get a lot of questions. So sometimes we do have to pick and choose. We have to pick and choose the questions that are going to help the most people on the call. So yeah, that's that. But normally we do get to every question, but if you have something proof of concept, better to go to the specific proof of concept call. It's going to give you a lot more value. All right. Aside from that, we do have a great FAQ center. We have great support chat as well. Anything that has to do with your account, Katie Spy, Incognito, Chrome, 7-Day Profit Challenge, pen names, feel free to drop as many questions as you want. We do have a lot of tutorials in there, and they're trained to handle all those questions. So that's going to be the fastest way to get some answers on that. And like we were mentioning in the beginning, please, on your chat, set it to everybody. If you do host and panelists, then only me and Lynette are going to see them, but we might miss it. So just make sure you send it out to everyone, and that way we're all communicating here. All right. And a lot of people are new, but a lot of people are not. So you may have not have heard of Publishing AI, but it's now open to everybody. So what is it? It's a software that can get you book topic ideas, customer research reports, book outlines, descriptions, and even generate a 30K word manuscript. It's really good. I've used it. I've published 2 books with it. I think it's awesome. So just make sure you check it out. It is going to be a monthly subscription. You might have a free trial attached to it, but just keep that in mind. Great piece of software. Definitely check it out. It can save you a lot of time. Next, publishing services. For those of you that don't know, publishing services is a company that we work pretty closely with when it comes to a few various aspects of the publishing business. They do a really good job. And this month, they have a promo code PRINTREADY10. That's going to be 10% off your formatting package. And this coupon is only available for this month. So keep that in mind. And then next month, we're going to have a new coupon for a new type of package. So keep coming back, and there's definitely a lot of money that you can save. But other than that, let's get it started. All right. You ready, Lynette?
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome. Awesome. So I'll kick it off with the first question here. We got Dewey Klaus. And if I said that wrong, I am sorry. Oh, yeah. Philip is saying POC is Thursday. POC workshop is very informative. Highly recommended. Yep. Yeah. POC is one of those things that there's a lot of nuances. So sometimes covering in a quick 5-10 minute here, it's just not enough. So go to the dedicated POC workshops and Q&A calls, because they really get a chance to go into detail. All right. But so let's get started. Can you have a photo of yourself on the book cover? For example, my book is about minimalist home. My actual home is actually what the goal is of going minimalist. Less is more. My graphic designer suggested a photo of me in my open floor home plan. What do you suggest? You can definitely have a photo of yourself on the cover. It's no big deal. The only thing I would recommend is don't try to make that the main thing, unless you're an authority figure in the space. But yeah, you can certainly be the model in your own cover, 100%. All right.
All right, this one's from Paul. Please advise how to shorten this bundle title to 180 characters. The title is based on the AIA course, but it seems too long, 188 characters. All keywords and benefits are below. So weight loss for women over 50 box set, intermittent fasting for women over 50, plus the whole foods diet for longevity, a proven method for burning fat, boosting energy, and time with loved ones. I could remove the 2 singles titles, 77 characters, since they are readable on the bundle cover image, but that is not taught in the course, and removes 2 keywords. This bundle will be published as soon as the title is finalized. All right, so Brandon, I'm going to need help with this one, because I've published 2 books, but my second book is going to be edited every year, so I can't, so I don't want that one bundle put in or that first book put in a bundle, then it can never be put in the second book. I do that because it relates to tax law changes every year. So I don't have any personal experience with bundling. But I do
All
believe,
right.
I do agree with him that saving the character space is, you know, what we teach, but losing the two keywords would be harmful. I just don't know what Amazon's views are on using the two titles from two other books in this third title.
Yeah, no, we do use the main titles. But let's see. It really sounds like you just want to cut down a few words. I mean, at 188, you're still within the range. I don't think 8 characters are going to be what determine your success, really, but you can certainly cut out, for example, the ing words. We can often cut those words out and just make it a little bit more present tense. So it can be a proven method to burn fat, boost energy, and you're going to have to find a different way to save time with loved ones. Just to make it sound a little bit better, because even currently, time with loved ones doesn't really fit with the rest of the sentence there. Proven method for time with loved ones. Sounds a little bit off, but I would remove the ing words. Don't remove any of the important keywords, and that's how I would go about it. But you're within the range, and once you remove the ing words, you're gonna be closer to 180. But bundles are tricky, right? Because you have to fit both those two titles in there. And we don't want you to remove the keywords necessarily, but remove the ing words, and I think you'll get to where you want to be. And there's some good ideas here in the chat. Yeah, like you can take this and just make it shorter while still maintaining the same information. So yeah, that's what I got for you. All right, so let's move on to the next one. Hi, coaches. Any suggestions for keeping or improving the subtitle? Prepper Survival Essentials. Create a long-term food storage hideaway. Learn off-grid security tactics with bushcraft skills. And transform your home into a safe haven. Security tactics. All right, so book title, most important thing, have your main proof of concept keyword in there. You have a chance to add something before or after the keyword. You either want to use a word that's going to be descriptive, letting people know what the book is going to be. Is it step by step? Is it like a 28-day plan? Or you can use a more buzzword to give it more of like a brand or some creativity, something more unique. So for your main title, I would definitely add something in there. But for your subtitle, it is sounding pretty well. Create a long-term food storage hideaway. Learn off-grid security tactics with bushcraft skills. So this part here is a little bit wordy. Maybe if you said learn off-grid security, off-grid security bushcraft tactics, maybe. I don't know if that makes sense. But I think tactics and skills are very similar. I like that you fit bushcraft in there, but I think that could maybe be condensed a little bit. And transform your home into a safe haven. Okay. I think it's pretty solid. I think keep tweaking it, try to make this sound a little bit better. And it kind of sounds like you still have some room to add, whether it might be to the subtitle or the book title, but it's definitely in the right direction.
Right. My question would be, is does bushcraft skills relate to all three of those benefits? So are you using bushcraft skills to create long-term storage hideaway, to learn off-grid security tactics, and transform your home? So if that's the case, then I would add either using bushcraft skills before the rest of the subtitle or end the subtitle with bushcraft skills, if that applies to all three of those. Because like you said, I stumbled over it with it being in the middle like that.
Yeah, so reword it so it's a little bit more clear, or like Lynette said, move it to the ending or the beginning to kind of like tie it all in, right? All right, any more points for this one, Lynette? Are we good?
Not that I can see, although, you know, for like what you were saying to add something to the book title, I would say, you know, Prepper's Survival Blueprint or Guide or Handbook or Manual or, you know, something of that nature.
Yeah, you definitely have some pretty good options there. All right, George, let's move on to the next one.
All right, coaches, please let me know what you think of my title, Container Gardening Charm, Creating an English Cottage Garden in Pots. Oh, that's the whole, okay, Container Gardening Charm, Creating an English Cottage Garden in Pots is the whole title. Subtitle, How to Easily Create, Nurture, and Transform Any Small Space into an English Cottage Garden. Thank you. All right, so the first thing I would do is we need to remove the duplication of English Cottage Garden. Amazon frowns upon that use. It could be considered a keyword. You know, if people are looking for English Cottage Gardens, they would prefer not to see those duplications. Plus, that is a really long phrase, taking up a lot of valuable real estate in your title and subtitle. So you could do English Cottage Garden. Or English Cottage Container Gardening Charm for your title. That is a really long title. But how to easily create, nurture, and transform any small space. I believe that is good. I think you could, you know, add some good, more explanation to how you're going to create, nurture, and transform, more descriptive words, and possibly even add another keyword or two in there, because you've got container gardening, you've got English cottage, and those are really the only keywords that I could see, because easily create, nurture, and transform, that could apply to, you know, a diet or an exercise program or, you know, office space or anything. So I really only see two keywords there. Do you see something I'm missing, Brandon?
Yeah, no, you're right. There could definitely be more keywords in there.
Yeah. So if you haven't, Laura, are you, I don't know, I don't see anything in the chat from you. If you've not gone through the exercise with the title, definitely go through that exercise, and I would shorten your actual title a bit, and then I would add more keywords and descriptive words that's going to help your target audience realize what it is they're going to get out of this book. And going through that exercise using the cheat sheet and that final exercise to make sure your title is fire that Rasmus goes through in the lesson, that will definitely help you get closer to your end mark. But I think this is a great start.
Yeah, keep working, keep working. If you can get the main title smaller, like Lynette says, remove that redundancy there. It's gonna be better. Just also,
yeah, sorry? Cherie has a great suggestion in the chat. Create your English cottage garden. So
Just make sure you keep the POC keyword in there, which I'm guessing is container.
ING that we were just talking about too.
Yeah, save some space there. Mm-hmm. All right. Awesome. And Laura's not here today, unfortunately, but I'm sure she's going to be watching the recording. All right, Carmen. Does the 30K manuscript word count include the words on the copyright page, table of contents, reference page, etc., or is it just the introduction to the end of your last chapter content? I mean, it can count it if you're counting it. So it kind of depends what you mean by that. So, I mean, if you pull up your document on your Word file and you search up word count and it's 30K and it's counting everything, that's totally fine. It's a really, your references are the ones that are going to add the most character count, maybe like 1,000 or 2,000, but your copyright page, table of contents, all that stuff, it's going to be almost non-existent. So, yeah, technically the 30K word manuscript does count the references. Like when you generate it off the publishing AI, it gives you the references and that makes up part of the word count, but it's just so low. It's so low anyway, so it's not a big deal. But try and make the content from the introduction to the last chapter be 30K. And it's not because 30K is some sort of magic number. It's really not, just a number. You're not going to succeed any more or any less if your book is 29 or 31. However, when we do the audible, we want to make sure that there's enough content in there to be 3 hours long. So that's roughly around the 30K word mark for actual content. Because in the audible, they're not going to read your table of contents, your references, none of that stuff. So I would try to stay as close to 30 as you can from actual content. But word of caution, if it's lower than that, don't just add fluff just for the sake of being at 30K. And if it's more than that, don't just cut out important things for the sake of it. So keep that in mind. All right.
All right. Tui has another question that her book is at 25,500 words. Is that okay? And I believe you just covered that perfectly in the previous question.
Yeah. I would try to add a little bit more.
Yeah, I would. The 30,000 words is to get you to the 3 hour mark in the audible, in your audiobook. But if you're not doing the audiobook, or if you have provided absolutely all of the benefits without being too fluffy, don't add words just for the sake of adding words. You want the content to be relevant and easy to read. And if there's a lot of fluff just to get your word count up, that is really going to detract from, you know, the customers being able to enjoy reading your book and getting the value they're wanting from it.
Yeah.
So yes, it's okay, but I would try to increase it and provide more value to get to the 30,000 word mark.
Yeah, I've had books with like 28. I still got to 3 hours. It's not a huge deal. All right. So let's go on to the next one. When we subscribe to ChatGPT 4.0, is there a time frame we need to keep it for, or can we cancel anytime? Yeah, you can cancel anytime. It's a monthly subscription, unless you got yourself a yearly subscription. I'm not sure if that's even a possibility, but yeah, you can cancel anytime. It's just a monthly thing, it's like $20. Let me see.
I'm sorry, what?
Are you seeing the next question? Because I'm not seeing it.
I see a question from Sean.
Okay. There we are. Just got lost for a second.
Okay.
There we go.
So Sean is asking, is it possible to have AI write the lion's share of the book, but leave detailed chapters for me to write? For example, if I want to cover something that only I would know, like specific things I want to convey to the reader or listener. Specifically, I want to do a book about stock market investments. I'd like to write the intro to talk about my background. And also I'd like to write the instructions on how to trade exactly the way I do. Absolutely. So whether you're using AI software or ghostwriter, you can add and detract whatever it is you want. It's your book. I specifically with my books, I've done two published with a human ghostwriter. I'm currently working on editing my third book, which was generated through the publishing.ai software. And there are things that, so with my human ghostwriter, I wrote my preface. I wrote my about the author. I wrote, you know, different things in the book. And I even wrote a story for him to include in my conclusion regarding, you know, actual real life experiences with my clients. So you absolutely can do that. And you don't, you can leave detailed chapters, but honestly, I would leave that out. If I were using the software, I would leave out detailed chapters for you to write in your outline just to make it clear for the software to understand what it is you're needing. And then when you are ready to enter your detailed information, you put it where you want it within the manuscript, because you're going to copy and paste it to either Google Docs or Word or whatever format you're working in. Is that still correct with the software? It's been a couple of months since I generated my book, but that's the way I understood it then.
Yep. No, that sounds good.
Okay.
Yeah. Awesome. Let's move on to the next one. We got Gloria. Where is the Facebook template you used to write the book description? Do you know about this, Lynette?
I'm not aware of a Facebook template, no.
I know Philip knows this. Philip, help us out here. Philip is one of our members. He's very well educated on things publishing, so maybe he knows. But with the new AI software that we have, the AI beta can actually do your book description for you. I don't think we have like a Facebook template per se. I would just go and watch the lesson, unless there's been a template added. At the end of
She's saying
module
at the end of
four,
module four, he uses a template. So let me see if I can get in there right quick and look.
so let's see, at the end of module four, he uses a template, module five. So Philip is saying module five. Yes, module four or three. Use ChatGPT polling service write description. Yeah, whenever in doubt, guys, just go to the course. If you're looking for something regarding book description, it's most likely under the book description lesson, or close to it. But Lynette here is going to see if she can find it there. But you say use the publishing AI if you still have a free what's it called? A free trial, and you can also use ChatGPT to help you out there. But yeah, but if you can find it, that'd be cool.
Yeah, I'm looking at the slides now. I don't see anything for Facebook. I see where he suggests using ChatGPT, what the five components of a book description are. He's got different screenshots of things from Amazon, but I'm not seeing. Oh, are you talking about the where he was? That's ChatGPT. That's
He said near the end. He said at the end of module four, he uses a
yeah.
template.
I pulled up the book description module. I'm looking at those slides, but I don't see anything for Facebook.
I guess it's just a template. Maybe you got confused with the Facebook word. Maybe it's not a Facebook template, it's just a regular template for
Right,
the
because the book
description.
description is what goes on Amazon, and I'm seeing different screenshots from Amazon, but nothing from
Yeah.
Facebook.
Yeah, I don't see why Facebook would be there, but Gloria, I hope if he's using a template, like if he probably has like the puppy training or something, description or something along those lines, go back to that lesson, but use the publishing AI software because it's already made specifically to write these descriptions the way that we like to structure them. So I would go in there and you can essentially generate like almost unlimited ones. So that's probably going to be your best bet. If anybody else on the chat knows where to find that template, let us know. I've actually never seen it myself. So it's interesting, but I would just follow along with the course. And if you want to do it manually, you can follow along and help them there. Right, so let's get it going. Rachel.
All right, this is the title and subtitle of my book, The Vagus Nerve Reboot Simplified, a step-by-step beginner's guide to reducing stress and anxiety while enhancing emotional well-being in minutes per day. Do you think the title would be better without the word simplified? And on the subtitle, does it sound too wordy? Should I remove or add anything? So I am unsure about the word simplified, because it's okay, so it's reboot simplified. So no, reboot simplified I think would be fine. If you didn't have the word reboot in there, then simplified would not make a whole lot of sense right there. So I see you've got, as far as benefits, you're reducing stress and anxiety, and enhancing emotional well-being. I think we need to add a third benefit in the subtitle. What do you think, Brandon?
Stress and anxiety. Yeah, it definitely has room to come up with another pain point benefit in there. I'm guessing vagus nerve is the proof of concept keyword in there. That's good. There's nothing wrong with the word simplified. I just think it's a little bit basic. I think in the last 2 months, I've seen like hundreds of simplified books that people are publishing. Like there's got to be some other words or some other ways to get it across. But if you can't find any, simplified is a great word. I mean, it's simple. There's no other way to really put that. But it is very, very overused. So, You might be able to find a better word. It's always worth workshopping it a little bit. Worst comes to worst, you don't find something, just you simplify it as direct.
Made easy would be another example you could use. Oh, and Judith does have a great note that simplified is very close to step by step, because step by step does tend to make something as simple as possible. But the book title cheat sheet has what, 80 some odd suggestions. I would go through that and see if there was something that you liked a little bit better. I don't see where simplified is bad or wrong or horrible, but like Brandon says, it is greatly overused, I feel, in the moment.
Yeah, it's worth a second take, but if you can't find anything, it's no big deal. Like one word is not going to dictate the success. Like I truly believe that. Sometimes we get so carried out, but like one word is not going to dictate the success of your book. I mean, provided what the word is, right? But as long as you're in the right direction, you're good. But we always want to ask questions, and we never want to take anything for a fact right away. We always want to workshop it a little bit and see what we can find. And on the subtitle, if you remove the ing words, it's going to be a little bit shorter. And if you add another pain point or benefit in there, like Lynette said, I think that would be a good move. I think there's a few more keywords under the vagus nerve that you could be tapping into there.
I agree.
All right, so we got Shannon. Where exactly do I insert end of the book review page? Should I insert it directly after the last chapter, but before the conclusion, after the conclusion? I have a research page and index as well. I'm concerned if I insert it as the ultimate last page of the book, my readers may not go back far enough to see it, as I myself never read further than the last chapter of a book. Okay, so I would put it after the conclusion, personally. I'm not sure if there's an actual set way to do it correctly, Lynette. What's your preference?
My preference is actually before the conclusion, because the conclusion is just a brief recap of everything that they've just read in the book. So I actually do mine before the conclusion, but I do agree in it not being the absolute last page of the book, because no, readers will normally not go that far. They might read the about the author section if it's back there. They might read an index if they're looking for something particular. But more than likely, unless there's a specific topic they're wanting to research more themselves, they are not going to go through however many pages of resources you've got. And so I would say either before or after the conclusion would be the perfect spot for it.
There you go. There you go. And you could review the course lesson too. I don't know if you have like a set specific like page, but I think what Lynette said is totally spot on. Either one of those options is going to be good. All right.
When I go to the trademark website, it will pop up 38,000 search results for the topic of the journey of co-parenting, along with the other four topics I have with POC, even when I put in the filters from the trademark module. If my specific topic doesn't show up on the first page, could I use that specific topic? Oh, I would say you could, but it is going to be at your own risk. Yes, the trademark website will generally put things in order of relevance. I would make sure that you are choosing just live, and that'll get rid of all of the dead trademark references. But if there's 38,000 search results, it could be possible that the 38,000th search result could be relevant to your book. So I don't want to tell you that if it's not on page one, you're fine, because you may not be. That is, part of us as business owners. We have to do all of the stuff that is going to keep us in line and in certain legalities and everything, and sometimes it is a major pain in the rear to go through, but for the protection of my company, I would follow the steps and just make sure. you could possibly do a search on the website looking for ebook or coaching or something like that and have it pull up that in the results, and that way it would potentially eliminate images that are trademarked, not just the phrase. It could eliminate different irrelevant, because if you're talking about gardening or, something to do with a river, you could get, and it's only talking about, a particular body of water, then you can get rid of all river rafting and, I hope I'm getting my point across. There's different reasons why something will show up in the trademark search that's not relevant. But it is our responsibility as the business owners, the publishers, to make sure we're not infringing on someone else's trademark.
Yep. No, I agree. Let's move on here. We got Christos. I'm writing my book outline in Publishing AI, and the top right-hand cover, it says expected word count is 38,000. I believe I read or overheard somewhere that the AI generated their manuscript closer to the targeted word count of 30K, regardless if predicted word count was nearly 8,000 words more. Is this correct? If I don't need to further modify the outline, an AI will do for me, that would be great. But I don't want to make a 400 credit mistake on this assumption. All right, Christos, I would definitely try and bring that down. If you let it, it's certainly going to spit out a 38K word manuscript. And that is just, it's a little bit way too long. I don't think many topics need to be 38. So I would go through it, try to check if there's some redundancy, try to remove maybe a few things. I think it's supposed to be between 47 and 57 subchapters. I don't remember exactly, but it's going to say, once you click on the little I next to your word count estimate, it's going to give you the exact one. But I would try and bring it down below 35. Really, that's, and if you can, even below 30, 33, 32, just so it doesn't go too much into your printing costs. I don't think many topics need this much word count to fully get the point across. So that's my advice. Bring it down a little bit before you go ahead and click, because it's a lot harder to generate a larger manuscript and then cut stuff out of it and maintaining the flow. It's one of the hardest things you could ever do. So take your time on the outline, bring it down a little bit, see where there's redundancy, and see where you can get to. All right. So let's move on.
All right. David's asking, in the 7-day challenge, where do I go once I copy my code? Where do I find the platform and where do I drop the code? I was in day 6, but it was Friday and I had no one to turn to. My book is done. My description is done. Where do I go from here? I guess I don't know which platform. I don't know who you're trying to give your code to. Are you trying to give it to early readers or family members? Are you trying to get it to us here at publishing.com? I don't know where you're trying to send the code to.
I think he's talking about when you do like the description, then you copy the formatting with the code. Maybe.
Oh, okay.
Maybe. I'm not sure. But David, we just need a little bit more clarity. But if you were in day 6, I was in day 6, but it was Friday and I don't want to turn to. If you're in day 6, everything's in those lessons, right? So watch 5, 6, and 7 again. Everything is in there. If not, reach out to support. But if my assumption is correct, you've gotten the description, you coded with the formatting, that's not no longer needed anymore. But if that's what you did, which I think that might be it, then you just copy and paste that code into your Amazon description box. But reach out to support. We don't want to assume. They can guide you through there. But also watch the course lessons. Yeah. You don't need to format things with code anymore. But if that's what you did, David, just drop it into the description. Philip is saying ASIN or QR code. Honestly, we could guess here all day. So go back to the lessons, David, or give us some clarity. But hopefully that kind of pointed you in the right direction. Let's go on.
All right. Before I read the next question, I just want to remind everybody, if you've got a question, please drop it in the Q&A section down below next to your where your chat button was. I think I saw a question fly through earlier, but everything was rolling so fast. And I want to make sure we answer all the questions and that nobody gets missed. So Lee is asking, Coach, could you ask the people on today's call to indicate among these four book covers their preference? If they do not like any, could they vote number five? My target audience is age 25 to 45 with an interest in self-improvement. Would you please announce who are the top two vote getters? Thanks.
All right. Let's see what we got here. Oops. Let's pull this up. And then we're going to see what the crowd thinks. All right, so we got number one. Everybody take a quick 5-10 seconds, internalize the design, and then we're gonna move on. And we've actually taken a look at some of these covers, Lynette. I think these are some variations from ones that we took a look previously. Comprehensive guide, okay. Let's go on to the second one. Self-identity secrets for women. Okay, that's number two. We got number three. And we got number five. Everything's just loading insanely slow, but all right, so this is number four. So I'm going to go through them one more time. Start dropping in your votes. And Lynette, do you know if Lee is in the chat?
Do what?
Do you know if Lee is in the chat? Do you know how to check that? Let me check.
Let me see.
I'm just curious because he's not in the chat.
Okay, no, I don't see him.
He's gonna have to check out the recording there. But all right, let's see. So we have a bunch of number twos.
Number two is my favorite as well.
And yes, Helen, I do need all the covers on one slide so we can compare, but we're not gonna do that today. That's a lot of work to get that going right now. I want to make sure we answer all the questions. And we've taken a look at these covers many times, but it looks like number two is actually four, or send it to 99 Designs for a different take. Four doesn't fit on the, yes, guys, I know, all of them together, very good, but it's really slow. That's going to take me at least 15 minutes right now to put it on there. Just the connection's very bad. But
it looks like number two wins by a landslide. I don't see any for number five. So, but like this one you've got on, I think this is number three. The
number
one
four.
Looks like the AI generated woman in the
This
hat,
one
that.
We're going to remove.
Yes, because I'm that writing close is this, very difficult to read.
Yeah. It looks like a magazine for like Barbies
I would
or something.
Say this one with the human, it may be an AI generated image, I don't know, but the human woman with the brown flowy hair and the hat on, that's the one that everybody seems to like.
These ones are the same. Pick your color at the end of the day. Maybe purple, since it's for women. I'm not trying to be. Okay, so let's see this one. This
That
one's
one
like the
is,
cleanest one.
I agree. The font is very easy to read. And she's got different things highlighted in the subtitle, keywords and whatever. So I think that's the cleanest one. And
Yeah.
that seems to be everybody else's preference as well.
Yeah. All right. So this is the cleanest one, but I think it still needs a lot more work. I wouldn't finalize on any of these necessarily late just yet. But out of them, this one is the cleaner one. All right. Awesome. So let's go back. And that is actually it for our pre-submitted questions. So now we're going to move on to the Q&A. Let me just move this back to the beginning. There we go. All right, so I'll get it started here. We have Sherry. My focus is audiobook or Kindle. I'm looking for advice on what is the best one to start with. So Sherry, it's all really one big process, right? So for you to be able to get a audiobook out there, you do need to have a Kindle ebook out there already. So when you publish your book, first it's going to go on the Kindle format, most likely paperback format as well, and then you can go ahead and launch it into an audiobook. So it's all part of the same sequence. You can't make an audiobook without having that book be on Amazon. So just keep that in mind. I hope that was helpful. All right.
So Robert is saying his POC was approved. Publishing AI is only allowing me to do more customer research. How do I get to the creation of an outline?
I
Brandon,
can
I'm going
show
to
it.
refer to you because I haven't been in the software in a little bit.
Yeah, no, I can show it. I have it pulled up.
Okay.
Give me 1 second. Customer research. All right, Robert. So it's actually really, really easy. Let me bring it up. All right. So let me open up the question. So if you opened up your customer research, that means you put in the book topic, that means proof of concept, you specified your target demographic, and then you put in ASINs, right? If you did that, then you click generate, then you officially have your customer research report on the right. All you have to do is come down here and click continue. That's it. Boom. So bottom, continue button, and then just put in the new prompts, and that's gonna give you the outline. So that's it. If there's any unclarity with that, just drop another question in the chat. But as soon as you put in your prompts, just like you did for the customer research, you're good to go. That's it. All right. Let me open this back up. Okay.
All right. You taking this or would you like for me to answer?
Oh, you're next.
Okay. Cherie's asking, what software to use if I'm narrating my own book? I remember reviewing that lesson back whenever I was considering narrating my first book because it was all about a step-by-step guide that I had used in my industry for over 20 years. And if they don't have a software recommendation in the lesson, and I honestly don't remember if they do or not, or if the lesson's been updated, then I would just research and see, because there's a million different recording and editing and whatever softwares out there, and it would be remiss of me to suggest just one to you, you know. So I would just do research and, you know, see what fits your price point, see what is going to offer you the best results given the equipment that you have. You know, if you've got noise canceling mic and, you know, a studio that is acoustically sound for you to do the narrating, you know, all of that is going to come into play. So I would review that lesson again and then do some research to find out what is going to work best for you based on the equipment you have, the space you're going to be recording in, and all of that. All of that comes into play. So I can't give you an actual software to use. I'm sorry, Cherie.
Yeah, refer back to the course. And I think picking the software is the easy part. Like literally, like pick anything, doesn't really matter. Like GarageBand, I make music on GarageBand. But then you also need to edit it to a certain quality that Audible deems acceptable. You're gonna have to find out those things as well and get all the gear. If you're not currently in somewhere related to the audio industry or audio recording or something, I just wouldn't do it, right? The narration for ACX is one of the cheapest parts of all that process to get people that sound really good. And this is going to be there for the rest of your life. So you might be saving $100, but the amount of money you spend on your equipment and the time that you spend learning it, forget about it. But of course, if you just really like it and you just want to learn about it, go for it. I literally have a whole recording studio and I don't narrate my own books because it takes time. And time is valuable. Time is money. So if you're new, maybe just have someone narrate it. But hey, at the end of the day, getting new skills, building new skills and learning new things is never a bad thing. But just keep in mind your time. All right. So we got Michiko. I know nothing, but I want to entitle my book. What's entitle mean? All right. So how to be a bitch, being assertive. How to be a bitch, being assertive to get what you want. Thoughts. I like it. I hope this is a 7-day challenge. I really hope this is a 7-day challenge. But if it's not, you're going to need to add specific pain points and benefits into your subtitle. You're not going to want to use the B word, and you're going to want to use a proof of concept word where we make sure that you're going to be found. So that's really all proof of concept is. We want to make sure that your book can be seen. So that's what it is. Proof of concept in the main title, and your subtitle needs to have some direct language to their benefits, to their pain points, and that's what it needs. So you're currently missing a little bit of everything right now, but if it's a 7-day challenge, I think it's golden. So, but if it's your main book, put a little bit more effort behind it. There's a lot that we could go into this. But rewatch the title lessons and try to come up with something that's going to be a little bit closer to what we teach here.
All right. So Rachel said, I published my 7-day challenge yesterday. Woo. Great job, Rachel. That is a big accomplishment. How long on average does it take for it to come live, as friends are already asking? Me personally, all of my books, the ebook was live in just a few hours. You know, they say it can take up to 24 and in some cases even 72 hours before they come live. But if it's been longer than that, and your book still isn't live, look for an email from KDP. There may be some questions that they have or whatever, or reach out to support and of KDP's support and find out, you know, hey, it's been, you know, 4 days, my book's not live yet. Is there an issue or something I need to do to correct in order to get my book live? But for me, for all of my books, they were live in just a few hours, the ebook version anyway.
Okay. So we got Chuck. You got two questions here, Chuck. So we're just gonna tackle them all together. Can I insert edited versions of my 30K book review request pages, middle and end, in my 7-day challenge? Or put a promo for 30K book page in 7-day challenge? I mean, if it's related, you could. But if it's like a related topic, you could. But I would just forget about your 7-day challenge and just keep going. If it starts making money and getting really good traffic, then, you know, sure, optimize it. But I just don't really think a review request page for a whole different book on your 7-day challenge is going to do anything, or a promo, unless you have literally, like, you know, dozens, hundreds of orders coming through. So I wouldn't waste too much time on that necessarily.
So I don't know if I'm pronouncing your name correctly, but Anina is asking, do I need another account for my ACX? And I just have one account for, you need an ACX account to have an audiobook created, but I'm not sure what you mean by another account for your ACX. Do you have, is this something you've heard of before, Brandon?
I think if you currently don't have ACX, then yes, you need an account for ACX. Use the same email. Use the same email. So, yeah, I'm also pretty confused, but it sounds like you don't have ACX and you're wondering if like it's tied to your Amazon or if you need to go ahead and make a new one. So, follow the course. You are going to need to go into ACX and make that account. I don't believe it's linked to your Amazon, but if someone wants to click on the chat. If someone wants to let us know in the chat, then they can let us know if it's totally linked. But yeah, go to acx.com, make the changes that you need, follow the course, and you're essentially creating a new account, but you can use the same email, same password, so it doesn't feel like it's the same. Doesn't feel like it's a different one, just to keep it for sake of being organized. And those that don't know, ACX is where you upload your audiobooks. KDP is where you upload your regular books, both owned by Amazon, but two different platforms technically. So that's that. This one mine or yours?
I believe that's yours.
Kathy. Okay.
Or yeah, I think that's yours.
I've spent over 1500 for 60 dales. That's funny. The dales part, not the spending part. I need help with Amazon ACoS, where can I go for help? Amazon is now selling a system for $575 a month. Based on this, it is no wonder they don't help for free. AI needs to do more to help with Amazon sales. AIA. Okay. It's a tricky one, Kathy, mainly because we actually do not. I forgot what I was going to say. I just totally blanked. But it is a tricky one, Kathy, because we don't have a view into your dashboard right now. And also, even looking at your dashboard, even if we take a look at it right now, we're talking about like at least 30 to 40 minutes needed to kind of just digest everything, see where you've been, see where you've been going. So there's not much that we can actually do on these calls. I actually did talk to the team to potentially making a QA call for Amazon ads. We're in talks, but it's just going to be really hard because once we do one account for like 30 minutes, it's not really going to be valuable to the next person. So it's going to be a 2-hour call where three people got value and everyone else just kind of had to stand by and listen to things that don't apply to them at all. So we're in the works. We'll see what happens. But for now, follow the course. It's literally all you need, right? If the ACoS is high, you bring down your bids. That's it. If the break cost is really low, you're not getting enough bids, enough sales, you increase it. So I know there's a lot of nuances that goes into it, but if you're making those bids and making those changes, you at least manage to stop the bleeding and keep learning. Amazon offers some courses. We have those lessons by Brian, which are really good. You know what I mean? So like everything that's in that course, those lessons, that's what I use to get to multiple thousands per month. Exactly that, without anything else, just decreasing and increasing bids. So keep that in mind, but really your main goal first is stop the bleeding and then see what you can do to possibly optimize. And hopefully we can bring in that Q&A for ads because I think it would be really helpful. But for now, I think this is probably the best that we can get to for now. All
Hey,
right.
can would you mind, Brandon, if I shared my screen? I've got something that I can go through real quick that may help her.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Oh, you need to allow me to share my screen.
Oh, I
It
need to
says
give you
disabled me
permission
from.
here.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, here we go.
So I actually,
You should be able to now.
okay. I actually found what I'm about to show very, very helpful.
Awesome.
So, all right. So, whenever you're looking at your book and you're looking at your dashboard, you want to look and see if you've gotten enough impressions. And impressions we're looking at are about 500 a day. So, if you have less than 500 a day, then raise your bids. If you have more than 500 a day, then you need to, but zero clicks, consider improving your number of reviews. And it could be a problem with your cover resonating with, or not resi not resignation, resonating with your customers. So if you do have more than 500 a day and your click-through rate is greater than 5%, then continue on to your sales and ACoS check. And so once you get there, if you have ad spend, no sales, or your ACoS is over 100%, you need to improve your sales page. Your sales page is basically your book description. So it's going to show all the details regarding your book, make sure you've got a good hook in your first line of your description and all of that. And then if that is good, you're going to focus on your book description, your where it says read sample or look inside. You're going to want to make sure that, formatting is proper, it's legible, it's interesting. Make sure your book cover is spot on, make sure you've got the number of reviews. And if you don't have A plus content, consider your A plus content because I've found it's been valuable on my books. Or double check your A plus content to see if it needs to be revamped and improved, like to, make sure there's cohesion to your book cover. Make sure it's covering and discussing the parts in your book. And if your ACoS is less than 100%, then you're going to want to proceed to the search term review. And there, and I know this is a little small, so let me try to make it a little bigger for y'all. If you've got more than 10 clicks, then you're going to want to either maintain the proper strategy. If it's under 40%, you're going to want to monitor it closely because it's around 40%, or you're going to want to reduce bids if it's between 40 and 100%. If it's over 100%, that's where your negative targeting is going to come into play, or turn off certain ads that are not producing. And then if you've got less than 10 clicks, you'll want to negative target or turn off those campaigns that are producing an ACoS of over 100%, or leave it alone until you have 10 clicks if your ACoS is less than 100%. So I hope this helped. And if y'all didn't, I'll scroll back through these right quick. Y'all can take screenshots. This may help you. So this is the last part.
Maybe like
Five,
5 second per slide, maybe
four,
everyone can take a screen.
three, two, one.
And ladies and gentlemen, a lot of these metrics, they're on the lessons as well, but this is a great
Yes.
visual way to stay organized.
Right. This is your second shot. Five, four, three, two, one.
And for that second chart,
Let me do it like this. Now, five, four, three, two, one. What were you saying, Brandon?
I was going to say for the second chart, for everybody on the call, head over to Sales Booster Series because this is where they talk about the A plus content and a lot of that stuff that can help you increase your conversion rate.
All right, and this is where we started at. Campaign impressions and clicks. Five, four, three, two, one. I hope that provided some value. It helped me a lot when I actually was able to see it this way.
Yeah, internalize all the little changes and then just get to it. Get to it. Whatever you need to stay, keep it organized needs to be done. All right, so let's go back to the questions here. Lesson is locked and I'm wondering how to gain access. So yeah, these are time locks. Also completion locks. I think Philip's the master on these locks, but reach out to support and they can get them done, but it is time based to so make sure you don't go too far behind, too far ahead. 7 days. There we go. 7-day time block. If you don't want to wait, just reach out to support there. All right. So Sherry said, I recorded on GarageBand other books and wondering if this is still the main way to go. There's not really a main way to go. Just wherever you know how to mess with the EQ and do all the compression and all that, that's where I would go. Just wherever you have access to all these settings to make sure the thing is crisp. But yeah, GarageBand is pretty solid. And then we already did this one with the locking, 7 days, Sherry. All right, you're up next, Lynette.
All right, I'm trying to use publishing AI to help generate a topic that is a book about using creative art therapy handbook for parents to help their children deal with life issues. The book topics don't really include anything I can find to use for my topic. Help. Okay, so Lillian, this is, I need a little bit more information. You say in the book topics don't really include anything I can find to use for my topics. Are you talking about the topic tracker sheet?
So she's saying
Are you
she's
still here,
so
Lillian?
I think she's using the publishing AI topic generator.
Oh, okay. Oh, good.
That's
okay.
Something
okay.
along the lines of creative art therapy handbook for parents to help their children deal with life success. The book topics don't really include anything I can find or use for my topic. Okay, so I think she's using the idea generator, but it's not really giving anything
okay.
that's close to what she's feeling like she wants to write. Maybe. Let's see if Lillian's in the chat here.
Yeah, she says, and she said, yes, she is. So I, you know, I'm just now working on my first AI generated book. So I'm still thinking old school, going back to the topic tracker. It sounds like you've got more experience with the software than I do and can be more useful to Lillian than I can, Brandon.
Let me just type here. All right. So Leanne, it sounds like you're using the topic generator. Oh, I didn't even check if you're in the chat. Let me see. Yes, she is. All right. So it sounds like you're using the topic generator and you're just not finding something that's close to what you want to write about. If that's the case, just drop a yes, Lillian. Oh, she did drop a few yeses. Yeah, it's really easy to miss these ones. But so if that's what's going on, Lillian, I would just go to Amazon and just search up creative art therapy and run proof of concept, right? The topic, the idea generator, it's exactly that, an idea generator. But you already have the idea. And the idea is creative art therapy, right? So go to Amazon, check if it has proof of concept, and then see where you go from there. From there, you might need to do creative art therapy for parents or creative art therapy for kids. Just test out different types of target demographics and potential keywords. Don't get super stuck on like 100% just doing a book about creative art therapy for parents to help kids. Like, don't get like super stuck on that. Just, you want to go towards creative art therapy, explore that, and then see which demographic or which person, which avenue might be the best profitable part there. And if you want more ideas for keywords, you can use the beta topic generator. It sounds like you're not able to find anything much there. Go to Amazon. There's a lot of cool extensions, AMC suggestion finder, like Philip is suggesting here. But honestly, what I like to do is just read the name of the books when they pop up, and you always find like 5 different keywords to go in and test. But yeah, so check that out.
Another thing you could do too to generate ideas is you can type that into a Google search bar and it'll bring up, you know, it'll auto-populate different things that people are searching for. Same thing that you would do in Amazon. You know, when you type that in, it'll bring up other things that people are searching for. It'll give you some suggested ideas. And so maybe between Amazon, Audible, and Google, ChatGPT, you know, all of that could help you come up with other things that you could look for and search.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I think
All
these
right.
two are in. I think the next two are based on the question she had done earlier, and she was like trying to chat with us while we were going through her earlier question. Is that the case, or is this an additional question?
I am not sure what her last question was.
Let me go back to answered.
Answered.
Oh, did she need another account for ACX? So I think we discussed that already. So you have to have the KDP account in order to get your ebook, paperback, hardcover book done. And then once you have that done, you create a separate ACX account. And then once you do that, you're able to what is it? What is the term? You have to go find your book when you're in
Yeah, and
ACX
claim
in
it.
order to start the project of getting the audiobook done.
And she said, I mean, my 30K book was published on Amazon last week, and the audiobook is ready.
Oh, wow.
So if your audiobook is ready, that means you should already have an ACX account, right? Because there's only one way to get it ready, and that's to go to M I mean K ACX, claim it, hire a narrator. Or maybe you got like a person from like Fiverr or something or Upwork to narrate it for you, and you just need to upload the files. Maybe. But go to acx.com if you're not there already, make an account, sign up. But yeah, and if you want to give us any more information on that, then that would be useful. But yeah, acx.com. All right, so I think we are good there. All right. Well, Lynette, that was your first Sunday Savage call. How did you feel?
Oh, it's fantastic. I was glad that I was able to jump on and do this. I've been going through some videos myself and trying to get ready for, coaching students and working on my next book and everything. So I love these calls. I'm normally on the Wednesday call. I love being able to hear where students are in their journeys and provide some guidance whenever I have the knowledge to do so. So I'm learning more every day, and I just find these calls to be absolutely fabulous. It's a great way to
Yeah.
connect to a lot of people at one time.
Yeah. No, we were all learning every single day. We're doing it together. And yeah, no, thank you so much for coming out. Oh, looks like we have a few more questions.
Oh, fabulous. And everybody, you're so welcome.
It was
I live
Andrew
to help
Chapter
people.
and
And so,
verse.
whatever I can do, whether I'm with Brandon or another coach or by myself, I just love to help. So, I'm glad that y'all were able to find some value with me and Brandon today. Thank you so much.
All right. We got Ashwin. Hello, team. I posted a project on the Urban Writers to have the AI full manuscript edited. The editor said that the work would start after receiving the payment. My understanding from ghostwriting training modules, the payment is not to be done after the work is completed. The editor's request for payment before delivery is confusing because it's my first time with Urban Writers and this editor. Making any payment without seeing any evidence of progress or quality seems odd. Kindly guide. So I actually have not used the Urban Writers for editing. So I was under the same exact impression, but editing might be a little bit different because you're kind of like buying like a product that's going to be delivered relatively soon. I'm 100%. I'm honestly not sure, Ashwin, on that one, but I would reach out to their support and see if that's their like full-on process, because good thing about Urban Writers is that they are a full-on company. They're pretty good when you need a refund or something happens. They're really good in that stuff. You have like that middleman kind of controlling things. But yeah, no, I haven't gotten any editing from Urban Writers, so I'm not 100% sure if it's supposed to be after or before. If anybody in the chat has any kind of insight for them, that would be awesome.
What I know from the Urban Writers is, so in the training, when you're hiring a ghostwriter and you go through the process of figuring out whether you're going to use the AI software or you're going to hire a human ghostwriter. You know, two of the choices for a human ghostwriter is the AI, or not the AI, I'm sorry, the urban writers, or hiring someone through Upwork. And with the urban writers, the way I understand it, I've not used them, but I'm looking into using them. The way I understand it is you're hiring the company. And so you make the payment for anything that you're hiring them to do upfront. Now, when you get the information back from them, that's when you make the revisions and or request revisions or adjustments or whatever. And if you need to, you contact customer support to, if there's a communication breakdown, you can contact customer support to help with that. Where you pay as milestones are done is through Upwork. And so what you would, and I have used Upwork with my first book, you create a project, you hire a writer, and then you create different milestones. And you make a payment for the milestone that is not released to the ghostwriter until after you approve their work on that current milestone. And then you're able to pay as you go. But with the urban writers, it's because it's a company and you're hiring the company, you do pay them up front for the work. And then they'll start doing the work once they receive the payment. And also, are you doing line editing? Because like line editing is similar to proofreading. So is that what you're paying for? Or are you wanting them to rewrite the manuscript to get it into more of a human voice? So that was another question I had about your question, is what type of editing were you looking for?
All right. Let's see, and it's Ashwin's on the chat, right? I think he is on the call. But yeah, best thing to do in that case, check with the urban writers. They got final say anyway. All right. So Ernest, I want to use a ghostwriter. Any suggestions? I mean, you have the urban ghostwriters. We've been using them for a long time. They're pretty solid. Of course, in business, anything can happen with any company, with any ghostwriter, but Urban Ghostwriters is pretty solid. Other than that, Upwork is also a decently good place to find writers. As far as writing quality, you're just as equal to be satisfied with the writing quality. However, it's just a little bit more work. You have to do a little bit more interviewing and make sure that you're finding the right person, just because it's like an open source system, right? So I could go apply to your job to write your book tomorrow and make it seem like I'm somebody that knows how to write stuff. So you just have to do your interviews. Urban writers, Upwork. If that fails, you can also use AI. Our publishing, our new AI 30K word manuscript writer. You can use that. And if not, there's a many handful of different freelancing websites and ghostwriting websites. Can't really recommend any because I haven't used a lot of them, but I've seen people use a wide variety of things, but urban writers, Upwork, publishing AI, those are good places to start. And we actually have course lessons on those. So yeah, take a look. All right.
So to go back to Ashwin's question, she put in the chat, does Upwork do line editing? And I believe that both Upwork and Fiverr do have people that are advertising for line editing. So you could check both of those. I'm not sure about the quality of work. I've not hired anybody from either platform for that. But I do believe it's possible to receive that. I would just, like you would for a ghostwriter, make sure that you do a great interview session and get as much information from these people up front, and definitely do a Zoom interview with them. Make sure you're talking with an actual person. So Brenda says, what do you advise for translating a book into Spanish? I have contacted Narrators Pub and they seem to be fairly easy to work with. Do you have any experience with DEEPL.com? I personally do not have any experience with that website. I have not. It is one of my things to do this summer is translate one of my books into Spanish. I'm an accountant by trade, and so I just finished tax season, which is why I'm just now working on a manuscript that the software generated a couple of months ago for me. But it is, so it's on my to-do list is to translate my book into Spanish. I don't know anything about Narrator's Hub or anything. Do we have suggestions in the training regarding where to
We do
go?
have a lesson. We do have a
Okay.
lesson. I don't remember exactly where they recommend to go get it done, but we do have a lesson on it. Yeah, I haven't done my book into Spanish either. So yeah, but go check out the lesson and see what's up there. Just I haven't seen it. I think we did update it from the last one that we had up there, so that's good. I'm just
Okay.
not up to date with the latest latest platform that's being used for that.
Me either, but
Yeah.
give me about a month and I will be. Because I'll be needing that information for my own
Yeah, you're
book.
doing it for your book. Nice.
And Brenda said that Ed has recommended Narrator's Hub in the past. So if Ed's recommended it, then it's definitely one to look into. But I don't know
Yeah.
anything about the other website.
It's
So
really the biggest one.
yeah.
So that's good place to
In
start for
anything,
sure.
yeah, in anything, y'all. This is your publishing business at the end of the day. So do your due diligence whenever you're looking to hire anybody that is going to be connected
Yeah.
and working on your book in any way.
Yeah. There's always pitfalls. Even going to the Urban Writer, sometimes you might find someone you don't click with, things don't flow as well. It can happen. So yeah, definitely keep that in mind. So Kathy says, is there any way to add A+ content after the book is published? I was told no, or I lose all my reviews. Yes, you can, and you do not lose reviews. A+ content can actually only be published after the book is published. So you're good there. You might have been thinking about something else, but you will not lose any reviews for adding A+ content. It's as simple as like changing your Facebook display picture, really. You just have to make sure that you design something that's look nice and can help you increase that conversion rate. But you do not lose any reviews. And if you're still kind of fearful about that, Kathy, just go to the Sales Booster lesson where we talk about different things within the A+ content. But yeah, you're not going to lose out on that.
Hi. Jude says, my book is being written currently by a ghostwriter. In the meantime, I need to create some images with Midjourney to make reading a bit more interesting. How many images should I use? I don't want to include too much. Thank you. I guess it depends on what the topic is. Yeah, my book is in the business niche, and so no images were necessary. So are you still here, Judith? Can you tell us what your topic is? Topic is menopause. Okay, so what kind of images are you wanting to include for? So I understand that you want to make it a bit more interesting, but what's the purpose of the image? Oh, you're typing in the, you're not sure. Okay. So, so with that in mind, maybe you could, if you feel like an image is necessary, you could create an image that you use at the top of each chapter, like you see in some books. I don't think it's necessary. I think it is going to unnecessarily increase your page count, which is going to increase your printing costs. So I don't think it's necessary. And as far as how many you should use, that's really a judgment call. If you feel like adding in an adult coloring page after every couple of chapters would benefit your readers, but only if it would benefit your readers. I wouldn't do it just for the sake of doing it. Then I would do that. So maybe I would go back to my customer research and see if that's something that you're target audience is looking for, and possibly even do some competitor research and see if something like that is even included in some of your competitors' books.
Yeah, no, that's really the best way to do it. Check out your competitors, and ask yourself, what's it gonna take for me to compete with these people? Are we the same product? Are we the same quality? All right, so we got Dusty. Do we have to pay for our AI to ghostwrite? Yes, we do. So to access the system and to get access to the unlimited outlines, topic ideas, what's the other thing? Descriptions. That's part of the $29 a month subscription fee to the publishing AI system. If you want to actually write a 30K word manuscript, that's going to be an additional $400 per manuscript credit that you want to buy, if you want to buy one, right? So, system, $29 a month. You have everything except the manuscript writer. To write a manuscript, you have to purchase a credit. So, one credit, one manuscript, each costing $400. So, and it's also going to give you a writing sample before you click the trigger on the whole manuscript thing. So you're going to be able to see what AI is going to be sounding like, and if you want to tweak it or whatever you may want to do. So yeah, I hope technically we are paying AI to ghostwrite. Yes. All right, but that looks like it. All QA questions have been taken down. Awesome. Yep. And Philip is saying purchase credits don't expire. So everyone should be trying it. That's for sure. And yes, it is cheaper than a ghostwriter, and it's better than a lot of the writers that are out there applying to our jobs. So give it a shot. Check it out. It's a great system. But we're going to be ending the call here today. Lynette, thank you for filling in for Libby. Thank you very
Absolutely. It's been
much.
a pleasure.
It was great having you. You are always welcome to come by.
I
And
will keep that in mind. Thank you.
yeah. All right.
Have a
Thank
great
you,
Sunday,
everybody.
everybody.
Have a good one.
Bye.